Wherever you are, if you love the Lord, I want you to lift your hands and just praise his holy name. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody says, thank you, because the entrance of your word brings light. And today, as always, let that light shine in our hearts to the glory of your name, in Jesus' mighty name. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Now, before we get started, how would you like, you know, we were talking about character this morning, you know, but one of the ways, and one, I shouldn't say, but I'm one of the ways that we can get more like the character of the Lord, we're going to find in this message, is to speak exactly his word. Amen? Because God's character is defined, revealed, and exemplified to us through his word. You know, you want to know about Christ, you can't know anything about God if you are not studying the word of God. It's not going to be by dream. It's not going to be by this. And it's revealed. God is revealed in his word. Hallelujah. Now, of course, he can come to you by dream and vision, but first the written word, and then anything on top of that. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, how would you like to have all of your desires, all of your prayers answered 100% of the time? Amen. Amen? Well, if you would like that, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Well, I don't hear everybody clapping, so maybe some people don't like it. There is a way that you can approximate 100% every time. You know, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. And if you have real faith, you know, I love the subject of faith. And we preach on so many different things, but faith has to be one of my favorite subjects. And why is that? Because several years ago, when we started the church, I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, what's going to be the, you know, character of the church? And among many things, of course, love, we put it on the website, an atmosphere of love and righteousness and so forth. You know, but the Lord always told me about faith, because he said, look, when I come back, shall I find faith on the earth? You know, as many things he could have asked if he will find, but he was asking if he will find faith. And then one day I was talking to the Lord, thinking about some things and the direction the church was going in the very early days when we first started, many, many years ago, about 10, 11 years ago, you know. And then the Lord said to me, but you're forgetting something. And I said, what might that be? He said, your secret weapon. And I said, what's that? Then he said, your faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I know that, you know, by the grace of God, from a little child and up, he has taught me the essence of faith, and I've tried to share it many, many times in this fellowship. Today, I'm going to be talking about the principles of the oracles of God. The oracles of God is what I'm talking about today. And, you know, every time we have these consecration services, you know, I spend a little extra time. You know, and really pray. I believe that God must do something. I sent out a note yesterday. I said, look, whatever you do, don't miss today's service. Well, for those of you that are here, you're going to get a real blessing. Amen. Amen. I couldn't sleep. I can't hardly sleep most times, especially during these consecration things. And I was just praying in my heart and so forth like that, you know. And today, the oracles of God. And I'm going to bring this the way the Lord brought it to me, to the extent that if you understand this and you receive it and apply it, you can approximate 100% every time. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me first of all talk about oracles, what it may mean in circles other than, you know, the believing circles. In the olden days, and even still in some dark and mystic religions, you know, they have, you know, seances and fake things and so forth that they do. You know, but, you know, some people would seek to what they call an oracle, which is a medium through which they might, you know, hear or receive some guidance from some so-called higher power. Well, that's how they do it in their ways. But for us, in fact, if you check the New Testament, and then we'll mention something in the Old, but in the New Testament, the oracles of God throughout the places where it's mentioned in the New Testament was always in the plural. Always oracles, plural, of God. And we're going to come into that in a minute. But in the olden days, when God was dealing with Israel, you know, they had this thing, you know, that God called the Urim and the Thummim. It was in the breastplate of the priest, especially the high priest. And, you know, sometimes they would inquire from the word of the Lord, and the Lord would do something and so forth. And, you know, history has it that, you know, they had these 12 stones that they built into that special breastplate. And when they would inquire, you know, 12 stones, one stone according to the tribe of Israel, 12 tribes of Israel. And when they would inquire from God, there was a way that those stones shine in certain ways and so forth. And they figured it out. But I'm not talking about that today. You know, I just wanted to give that as a background. You know, get your mind off of that. We're going to really talk about, you know, what God wants for us today. Now, let me start here in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. And this is where I'm taking my text from today. Hebrews chapter 5, and I am going to start at verse 12. Now, we covered the book of Hebrews a few years back, and you can go to the website and check all of the week after week and week after week teachings on the book of Hebrews. But in this place, I want to talk about this verse 12 of Hebrews 5. For when for the time that ye ought to be teachers... You know, I mean, this guy is not happy with the people that ought to already be dealing with some grown-up things. But they're still receiving only baby stuff. For when for the time that you ought to be teachers, you still have need that one should teach you again what be the principles of the oracles of God. We've never talked about that exactly. And that's a strange message for a consecration weekend like this. But you'll see why in a minute the Lord brought it, you know. And you have become such as have need of milk instead of strong meat. Oh, wow. But he didn't go on here to say what the principles of the oracles of God really are. And that's what we're going to be talking about. But strong meat. See, now, there is different kind of diets. For babies, we have some babies and newborns in our midst. We praise the Lord for that. You know, they have to deal with milk and so on and so forth. You know, and as they grow, as people grow, if they just eat this baby food all the time, they will be short in the formation of all the vital parts of their body. God has given essential foods, more than just milk, for our growth, especially as we get older and as our body grows. Amen? You can't just live on milk anymore for those of you who are grown up or older. It just won't cut it, you know. Now, but then there is the sincere milk of the word. We know that. And that's what we've been dealing with in this foundation series. But then there's also, you know, you can go a little deeper into some stronger meat. Amen. You know, you can't just drink milk all the time. You know, you got to go a little deeper. Praise the Lord. So let's look at, he said, look, strong meat in the next verse. You know, well, let me read 13 and 14. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. And still drinking milk, you're a baby. Okay, so he's kind of chastising them and say, come on, you know, eat some meat. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Amen? There are some people... By reason of use, they can understand some things and they can eat strong meat. Well, it won't be too strong this morning It's broken down so that we can all enjoy it, but it's going to help you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the oracles of God and the principles thereof, what we are going to be talking about today. Let me read a few scriptures here in the New Testament before we go on to the real message. Romans chapter 3 and verse 2. Well, let me start from verse 1. It was talking about, look, you know, God, you know, there's Jews, there's no respect of persons with God, there's Jews, there's Gentiles, there's circumcision or no circumcision and all of that. He's talking about that in the previous chapter. You know, so now he comes into this chapter and says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? I mean, if you're saying that, well, there's a balance, God doesn't respect one over there. So what's the advantage there? He said, well, much every way, there is a lot of advantage. He's answering his own question. He said, chiefly because unto them, talking about the Jews now, unto them were committed the oracles of God. But he never really went into what they were. He just said they were committed to them. Well, we know what they were, you know. Now, but even though God committed unto them the oracles of God, listen to the next verse. But what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? Can somebody answer that? No. You know, so even when God has committed into your hands the oracles of God, and you are not believing and appropriating, well, will your unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? There will always be some people that will believe. Amen? Amen, folks? Some people will always believe. God will always have a remnant. All right, so I'm showing you the scriptures where it talks about the oracles, and then we're going to see what they're all about. Now, here's another verse in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. And this is really going to be a good place for us to land today. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. I'll start at verse 10, but verse 11 is where I'm going. He says, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, don't try to use the gift that you don't have. Use the one you already have. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, so now, and if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Not be telling us, you know, telling us something that you don't know about. You know, speak as the oracles of God. Amen. And if any man minister, let him minister according to the ability. This was one of the scriptures when I first was a young man and I started coming to the ministry many, many years ago. So it was about 43, 44 years ago. You know, this was one of the scriptures the Lord gave me. And I had a friend then, we always used to say to one another, the ability which God gave it and the oracles of God. You know, and I noticed that all these years, I've never even preached about the oracles of God. You know, so today we will be talking about it by the grace of God. Amen. Now, let God be glorified is the whole purpose. If you read the rest of that verse, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him do it as the of the ability which God giveth, so that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, if any man speak, although we know that he's talking about, you know, ministration, but I'm going to expand on that and say, look, if you're going to speak at all, if you're going to say anything, let it be according to the word of God. Amen. And let it be according to the oracles of God. So we're going to go a notch higher today, you know, to say, look, you know, what is the kind of thing that we should be declaring with our mouths and so forth like that. So, you know, whereas the word of God is given to us freely and full and complete, many people do not take advantage of his word. And many people don't even know what the word of God says. You know, if you don't know what the word of God says on this subject, then you're just going to be, you know, fooling around because you don't really know what God has to say on this subject. You know, so today I'm going to bring some things out about how to apply the principles of the oracles of God. And if you know how to do it, you know, you will be almost like an oracle of God each time you speak. Amen? Amen, folks? Now, that may be hard for some people to believe, but, you know, well, it, you know, this is meat. This is not milk. If you can receive it, then, you know, in fact, we know that what faith can do, but we also know what the gift of faith can do. You know, and a man that has the gift of faith, God will honor his word as if it's exactly God's word. I mean, and we've seen some powerful faith that are declared in that Bible. People say something and it comes to pass just like they say it. Hallelujah. You know, so we're going to cover that today so that we can apply it for our lives. And you don't have to wait to come to church before this happens for you. You can use it every day and it can work for you. Praise the Lord. Now, the scriptures that have to do with Urim and Tumim in the Old Testament, I'm not going to go into it because that's not my subject, but just for reference, you can write it down and check it, because some people say, what's Urim and Tumim? I never heard of it. Well, if you never heard of it, check Exodus 28 and verse 20, and also check Deuteronomy. There are many verses. I just picked these two. Check also Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 8, you know, and so on and so forth. There are places in the book of Ezra, there are places in the book of Nehemiah that they said, look, you know, we're not going to, when they were moving back and so forth to fix Jerusalem and all those places, they look, there was a certain tribe that, you know, came out of the tribe of Levi, but, you know, somewhere they couldn't find a priest that could stand up with Urim and Tumim. And they said, well, you're not going to be a part of this until you bring a priest that can have the Urim and Tumim. There's many places in the Bible that talk about that. But that's not my subject. I just want to give that reference in case somebody thought I quoted something that was not in the Bible. So that's that. But let's get back to today's message. Now, as far as the principles of the oracles of God are concerned, I have preached by the grace of God messages in this place about the essentials of faith, the anatomy of faith. I mean, we preach faith any which way you can. For somebody asks me all the time, why do you always preach on faith? Well, I already answered that this morning. Now, I am going to combine some of the things that we've spoken in the past and then add some things more into it. I'm going to give you about 7 things here. That if you can follow these things, these principles of the oracles of God, you can get whatsoever you say to come to pass every single time. Amen. So that's the purpose of today's message. And before we leave today, we're going to do some of it. We're actually going to practice it right here at the end of this teaching. Amen. Are you ready? Okay, you will be more ready by the time you hear this. Let's go first of all to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. I have used this subject, this text on the subject of faith whenever I teach on faith and so forth, and I love it. And it's going to cover my first 4 principles of the oracles of God. In Hebrews 11 and 13. Hebrews 11, that's chapter 11 of Hebrews and verse 13. Now, in that chapter, of course, talking about the heroes of faith, and he talked about so many people and all the accomplishments and the acts of faith and various things they did, you know. Some of them did not quite accomplish some of the things, but some of them did tremendous things and so forth. And in this verse, he said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. There were some promises like, you know, they're looking for a better city and so forth. You know, they're looking, going to a place. You know, and we are also looking for a better city. There are many believers that believed in the translation and the rapture of the saints. And Jesus saying, there be some among you that stand here that will not die until they see the kingdom of God coming in power. But many saints have slept. You know, so we see that, you know, there is a promise of entering into his rest. And some people are falling short of it. And there is a promise of the translation. And some people died before that. But for all that died in Christ, the graves cannot hold them. Amen. Amen, people. That's right. Because those who died in Christ shall rise first. We know that. And Jesus said, I will lose none of them, but I will raise them up at the last day. Now, but so when we're pressing into these promises, Some of these people were also pressing into these promises, but they all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. And they were persuaded of them. And then they embraced them. And then they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. So, you've heard me, some of you have been here for any length of time or heard some of these messages. You've heard me preach on these four principles right here in this verse. And I call them SPEC. S, P, E, and C. Now, if you never heard it, you're hearing it now. S is to see the promise. He said they saw the promise. Well, you can't see the promise if you are not reading the Word of God. Amen? The promise is in the Word. Search the Scriptures, for they are they that testify of me. And in them you think you have eternal life. So search the Scriptures. Now, before you pray about anything, find out in the Scriptures what God has said about that thing. That's principle number one. Number two, and that's the S out of the spec. Number two, the P is to be persuaded. Are you persuaded that God is able to do what he said he is going to do? That's principle number two. These people, they saw the promises afar off, even though they didn't quite attain. They were persuaded that God is able to do it, and then they embraced them for themselves. The next one is E. I've covered S, P, and now I'm on E. Now, E is to embrace. Now, let me explain shortly the difference between persuaded and embraced. Now, everybody, any kind of believer, whether they are of any length or depth or whatever, believe that God can do all things. But not everybody embraces the miracles for themselves. We read miracles in the Bible all the time. You hear people's testimony all the time. We all believe that God can do all these things, but, you know, there's specific things when it comes to, you know, when it comes to it. You know, it's like Jesus talking, you know, to Martha, and she's saying, well, you know, I know my brother will rise in the new, you know, resurrection and so forth. And Jesus saying, no, I am the resurrection and the life. Believest thou this? I know you believe all the other stuff, but do you believe this one? Amen. So that is embracing it for yourself. Well, I know God did it for Elijah. He went in the chariots of fire. I know Enoch went, you know, without seeing death. But do you believe this? Believest thou this? You know, that's embracing it for yourself. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, well, the Bible says the life also of Jesus running through our mortal flesh. But believest thou this? Do you believe these things? Now, this may be a little strong meat for some people, but that's okay. You know, we drank milk this morning. Let's eat some meat. Amen. So, but do you believe this? That's how you embrace it for yourself. Now, after you've seen the promise in the Scriptures, after you are persuaded that God can do what he said he will do, and then you embrace it for yourself, the next thing for you to do is the C, which is to confess it. You must confess it. Hallelujah. And we read, you know, even when we were doing the Bible study, you know, we read in Romans 10 and 9 and 10, you know, how, that, and that's something that we didn't emphasize today, but that's how salvation really comes. You must believe in your heart, and then you must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Praise the Lord. The same thing with anything that you want from God. Folks, listen to this. You must believe it in your heart, but you must confess it with your mouth. If you are believing in your heart, but your mouth is saying something else, you are going to be running around in circles. It's going to take you a long time. It's kind of like the 40 years in the wilderness. It's going to take you a long time before you achieve what you really want God to do for you, because your mouth is saying a different thing. Hallelujah. So be careful what your mouth speaks, because the power of life and death is in that tongue. Be careful, folks, what your mouth speaks. So see the promise, it says. Be persuaded of it is P. Embrace it is E. Confess it is C. That's the first four of the principles of the oracles of God in getting what you believe and what you want done. Then I'm going to go on. I've preached on those many times. I'm going to go on to the next phase. Now, this is building and adding on. You know, it's like when you have your faith, you add onto your faith this and add onto your faith that. You know, that's what the Bible says in the book of Peter. So we've learned on these first principles. Now, let's add some more, which also have been preached on many times in the church. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 11. and add a few more principles in verse 23. Now, of course, this story, which is a very interesting story, we've touched on it many, many times in the Bible. You know, the story of when Jesus saw the fig tree that wasn't producing anything and so forth, and what he did and what the questions the disciples asked him later on, and what Jesus told them. In verse 22, Jesus answering said, have faith in God. And verse 23 will key in on a couple more of these principles of the oracles of God. Now, the oracles of God never fail. Can I get somebody to say amen to that? If God says something, it always comes to pass. You know, so that's what we're talking about in the oracles of God. Now, let me tell you, there's another reason. Let me digress a little bit. I'll come back to this in a minute. But let me digress a little bit and tell you that there's another reason why what God says never fails. I mean, there are many reasons. One, he is God. Amen. That's right. Two, the things have already happened. They've already played in front of him. He has already seen everything. He already knows everything. Now, it's like your favorite movie for you children. You've watched this movie so many times. You know from play to play, from place to place in that movie, what exactly is going to happen. And then your friend comes along who's never seen that movie. And you can, when somebody says something, you can almost say what the other person is going to say. Because you've watched this so many times. You know exactly what he said. And if you have perfect memory, like some people that have photographic memory and it's perfect memory, you know, you can watch the movie only once. You don't need to watch it many times. So you can remember everything. You can read something once and remember everything. Same thing with God. He's already seen everything. And so when he tells you this is what's going to happen, that's what's going to happen. Praise the Lord. And I've said it many times, and I'd like to say it again today. God cannot acquire new knowledge. Never. There is nothing new that he can learn. You know, he can't just suddenly wake up one day, oh, and God figured out, oh, this thing took me by surprise. No, it cannot happen. He's already known everything that there is to know and things that are not yet to know. Hallelujah. He knows it all. That's why he's God. The day that God starts learning new knowledge, then he ceases to be God. But he is God forever. Amen. He will never learn any new knowledge. So he already knows what you are going through. He already knows what you are yet to go through. Praise the Lord. And when I speak on this subject, I also like to talk about, you know, the game of chess. You know, and I was thinking about it this weekend, that am I going to preach that message on checkmate? Because I've always wanted to preach it. And God somehow always don't let me preach it. You know, but I allude to it a little bit. You know, but one of these days, it's strong meat though. One of these days I'll preach it. No, but in the game of chess, you have to anticipate the moves of your opponent. Anybody play chess? Okay. As a young man, I used to play chess, championship chess. You know, and if you're very good, you have anticipate many moves ahead. Now, of course, not only does the Lord need to anticipate anything, he already knows every move that the devil is ever going to make. And God can checkmate the devil from the first move. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He can make one move and that's it. And devil can't do nothing. Now, the devil, of course, on the other hand, he has to wait until God makes a move or you make a move, and then he tries to foul it up. He has no originality in himself. Amen. You know, so sometimes I don't like to tell the devil what I'm going to do. I keep it to myself. Because when he hears what I'm going to do, then he will try to plan something. You know, but he doesn't know what you're going to do. The Bible says, as the wind bloweth, and no man can tell where it's blowing from or going until it passes, so is every man that is born of the Spirit of God. Amen. The wind blows. Devil can't tell where you're going or not unless you tell him, you know, and so forth. Then he will hear it. Amen. But you can cover your prayers with the blood of Jesus, and then the devil can't hear it. Amen. That's why you can speak in tongues sometimes. And God can encode that, and the devil can break it. Amen. All right. You need to learn a few things, you know, about, you know, encoding things, encryption, and so forth. Even in technology, we do encryption and so forth. So let me not digress too much into that. But let me come back to this message in Mark 11. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, now I'm going to bring two more principles, we covered four already. Whosoever shall say, remember, we're talking about the oracles of God. That's speaking. The oracle always speaks something and it comes to pass. Whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into yonder place or cast to the sea or whatever, you know, Now, there are some two principles that he drops here. When you say it, do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass. Those are the two additional principles here. We covered four, and I'm throwing two more in. The next two, after you are confessing what you are saying, what you are believing, is to not doubt it in your heart, but continue to believe that what you have said will come to pass. You know, when God says something, he leaves it alone and it's done. Amen. The Lord speaks and it is done. He commands and it stands fast. He doesn't need to meddle in what he already said. He has said it. The word is self-existent and it is self-fulfilling. And the word will fulfill itself. Because the word is God himself. Amen. So once he says it, it's done. That's what the oracles of God do. Hallelujah. And that's what the oracles of God means. So there are two more things that we've added now. You must not doubt it. Now, if you speak it and immediately you doubt. See, that's kind of like the birds of the air come and pluck it from your heart. You believe it, but then you doubt it. See? And those doubts and so forth, they come in the soul. That's where the emotions are. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 4 and 12 that the word of God divides between the soul and the spirit. The soul is soulish. You know, it's emotion and angry and unbelieving and so forth. That the spirit clicks with the word of God. And the word of God is in the middle, dividing the two of them. No, you let your spirit move in the direction of the word of God. Amen. And you can accomplish just about anything. And as you get the rest of this message, you'll find out why. Now, if you continue to believe and don't doubt, Jesus said, you shall have. He said, if you do not doubt, but believe that those things that you said shall come to pass. You know, there are so many places in the Bible that says, and it shall come to pass. And it shall come to pass. And it shall come. Shall is a very strong verb. You know, I mean, it's like, it is going to. It has no choice. It shall come to pass. Amen? Amen. Now, if you believe that it shall come to pass, then it will. You have whatever I say. Now, Jesus didn't say it will happen right then. But he said, it shall come to pass. Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe I will be declaring some things today. Amen. For some people. Amen. Because the Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Yes. And minister according to the ability that God has gives you. No, don't try to be something else. You know, praise the Lord. I'm just going to be what God gave me. That's it. But I'm going to declare some things today. And it shall come to pass in your life. Amen. Amen. Then I'm going to give these keys into your hand to go home and use the same principles for yourself every day. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, finally, the last one is in Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. So I've covered six, and I'm going to cover the last one now. The last one is not to stagger at the promise of God. Amen. Amen. No matter how long it takes. You'll have to read the whole context, but I don't have time. So I'll just paraphrase it for you. The story of Abraham being childless for many years and his wife also being childless and God promising something. And even in his old age, the thing not appearing to come to pass. But when he believed it, God appeared to him and told him to change his name. And think about it this way. Abraham changed his name. His name used to be Abram. I don't know what it means. But Abraham means father of nations, you know, and the Sarah is also like a fruitful one that, you know, that will, you know, bring out many, you know. So when he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, you know, that's like acting out what he believed. You say, well, it was God that told him to do it. Yeah, God could have told him, but he may not have done it. But he changed his name. And told his friends, don't call me Abraham. And anytime they called him, I said, no, I reject that name. Amen. Now my name is Abraham. Because I will be the father of many nations. And his friends might have looked at him and said, we've always known that you were a fool or crazy. But we didn't know that you were this foolish. I mean, you don't even have a child. How are you going to be the father of many nations? I mean, look at us. All our children are around about us. And we don't even call ourselves father of nations. Are you now, at this time, going to do more valiantly than all of us put together? Father of nations, my foot, or whatever they say in those days. You know. But Abraham said, well, I will be the father of nations. And I've changed my name to prove it. Praise the Lord. And every day his name was a living testimony of what he believed in his heart. Names have a lot of meaning. So, he did not stagger. He believed. He was strong in faith. Now that's the seventh principle. No matter how long it takes, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Well, sometimes it may tarry, but it will not tarry long. Hallelujah. Just wait. And Jesus said, look, for the elect of God that cry unto him daily. See, he said, God will answer them speedily. Praise the Lord. But when it comes to answer them, well, shall he find them still believing? Well, that's the question for today. So, you can read it in the first 8 verses of Luke chapter 18, where Jesus talked about that. And he said in verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, this is Luke 18 and 8, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? I mean, you can think of it as the second coming of Christ, which we know, but I like to think of it as when the answer comes. And when God is ready to dispatch the answer, then those prayers are in the golden vials. And someday God releases and begin to release. And when God is going to release something in your direction, will you still be at the point of faith? Or will you have grumbled and be disgruntled and then turn back? The story of the children of Israel in Exodus 15. They were this close, right around the corner. God had prepared the oases, the places, in Elim and so forth that he had prepared for them. He had prepared, but they continued to grumble about water and this and that, but it was just right around the corner. You know, and they grumbled about everything, and then many of them wanted to turn back. Well, were there not graves in Egypt that we could have died there? Why'd you bring us out here to die for? You could have left us over there. But all the things that God prepared for them were just right around the corner. You have to read the last few verses of Exodus 15 and then go on to the first few verses of 16. Now, when he comes, will you still be believing? Well, here's the way I like to put it. And this is what I want all of us in this church to become. By the grace of God, is what God wants you to become, is the oracles of God in your mouth. Amen. Now, first of all, you must align yourself with his word. Now, you're not going to say anything that God didn't say and expect it to come to pass. You can find that in the book of Lamentation, chapter 3 and verse 37. Who is it that saith, and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Amen? Amen, folks? Amen. You can't just say, just because we are talking about oracles, just begin to say anything that God didn't command. No. You cannot. Who is it that saith and it comes to pass when God has not commanded it? It's not going to happen. So first, you have to align yourself with what God has already said. And that's the easiest way for you to get the oracles of God operating in your life. Know what God has said. Be persuaded that he's able to do it. Now, let's say, for instance, we want to pray for somebody who have healing. Or you want to claim healing for yourself. You must already know that what God said about your healing. Amen? That by his stripes, you are already healed. So you must know that. And then you must be persuaded that, God is able to do that. What you are claiming. And then when you read the examples in the Bible, all the things that he did, and the Bible said that it might be fulfilled in the book of Matthew 8 and 17 and so forth, he healed all of them. They brought all these sicknesses to him and healed them all, that it might be fulfilled, that which was written by the prophet Isaiah, that by his own stripes he bore our sins and sicknesses and so forth. Well, Jesus did all those things, but you have to embrace that he can do it for you. And then you confess it. Hallelujah. And when you say it, you say, I am healed. And you drop it like that. You act like you are healed. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Jesus used to say, take up thy bed. Don't continue to lie in the bed. Why did he used to say that? Act like you are healed already. Amen. And in Peter, he took him by the hand. He didn't just leave him there. You know, read it in Acts chapter 3. Peter took him by the hand. After he said, silver and gold I have none. He acted out his faith. He pulled him up. Get out of that thing. Snap out of it, like I like to say. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't sit down on his sick bed. Get out of bed already. Hallelujah. You know, by the grace of God, I will never stay down for the count. Amen. You know, sometimes I'm sick. My family don't even know it because I never will lie down on that bed. I'm always up. Because you get recovery quicker when you're up and about. Amen. Science will tell you that. But also by faith, you act out what you are believing. Amen. Now, after you have done all of those things, then you stand without wavering. You stand without wavering. And even though the skies look gloomy, don't worry about it. You know, the Bible says, look, in the place, you know, if the sky be dark, you know, so whatever. In the book of Ecclesiastes, well, wherever it is, they fall, whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. Dark clouds, you know, rainy days, sunshine, it doesn't matter. You believe God. Amen. When you are high on the mountain, believe God. When you are in the valley, you should listen to the message we preached some time ago on mountains and valleys. Recognize that the God of the mountain is still God with you in the valley. Amen. When you have the good days, remember it's God. And when you have the not so good days, remember that God of the good days is still God with you now. God in the day. The God of the day is still God in the night. It's not God of the night, but he's God in the night. Amen. Because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So he's never God of the night, but he's God in the night. And what God spoke to you when you are in the light, see, there are days when it seems like God is silent and God is not anywhere. Then you have to recall. The Holy Ghost will bring to your remembrance. Hallelujah. What he spoke to you when you are on the mountain, when you are in the light. You have to bring it when there is the dark days and remember his promise and never doubt. Amen. Praise the Lord. And remember that the word of God will not fall to the ground. Amen. As the rain comes down from heaven, Isaiah 55, and does not go back up. Those are principles of the oracles of God. You must know that God said that the word that proceeds out of my mouth shall not return void. Now, you know, entering into that nature of Christ, Bible says by these promises, he gives us to become partakers of the divine nature. I'm talking of one part of his divine nature today, which is the oracles of God. When God speaks, it's like the oracles. It's done. It's finished. There's nothing anybody can do about it. And when we begin to approximate into that realm by aligning with his word and living in his presence and so forth, you also can speak. Amen. You can speak and it will be done. In fact, the centurion, he said, speak the word only to Jesus. He said, well, I'm a man of authority myself. I'm a commander in the army. When I tell people, they do what I say. So I know that you can do. I know you can say. Hallelujah. Well, here's what I want us to do today. I want you to see yourself, you know, as, if you want to put it that way, you know, a mini word bank. Word bank, you know, W-O-R-D, capital. That's the word of God. It's embedded in you. You know it. I mean, you are oozing the word. Amen. Amen, folks. You are oozing the word. You know, any situation, the word comes out of your mouth. You know, and so forth. When you're so lined up with the word, of course, that's by studying the word to know what it says, you know, then you can begin to speak the word. Remember also, I don't have time to go into all the scriptures because if I read them all, it will take longer and I'm running out of time. So I'm just saying the scriptures without reading them. Remember also that God watches over his word to perform it. When you speak the word, the Bible says God sent his word, and great is the company that publishes it. Well, you may think of it as we publish his word here, but God has emissaries also that he can publish things with. Amen. God can hold a meeting. I preached one time on angels on assignment. Listen to it on the website. And God held a meeting. We saw some negative thing, but it also happens in the positive realm too. God can hold a meeting. You know, if you declare some things today, amen, God can say to some of those angels, remember, Psalm 103 and verse 20. The Bible says, the angels that excel in strength, they are hearkening to the voice of his word. They are waiting for that voice. They are waiting for command from you. Angels that excel in strength. They're not just, you know, some common angel. These are angels that excel in strength. They have power to bring and watch over that world. So God will hold a meeting. Get some of those angels. And say, yeah, my son Yato down there, he just spoke a word. He spoke a word. Now you all go down there and make sure it comes to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. He did that in order to get rid of Ahab and so on. But he do that also for you. Praise the Lord. You know, if you believe God, you speak that word, God will give angels charge. Bible says he has given his angels charge over you. Keep you in all your ways. Well, those angels also have the ability to help watch over. Just like in the book of Chronicles when he says the eyes of the Lord are unto and fro throughout all the earth and so forth. You know, God doesn't do any running. He knows everything already. Those eyes of the Lord, they are the angels that excel in strength. They're the ones that go all over the place. Then they come back and report that all is at rest. Hallelujah. They say, well, concerning, they say, what's happening concerning that, my daughter? You know, it's not that God doesn't know. He likes to make the angels feel like they have something to do. That's all. And then they come and say, all is at rest. And say, oh, that's good. Well, now you make sure that what she declared, you go make sure it comes to pass. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is able to do that and even much more. All you have to do is take these steps. Now, I'm going to end with these same questions that I started in the beginning. There are many more things that I can say, but I will abbreviate it for time. Will you like to be able to say something concerning situations in your life that have lingered? Would you want to be able to say something that you want to see done and get it accomplished? Would you? Well, I would love that all the time. Well, you know, by the grace of God, you know, God has shown me how to be doing that. But will you like to do that for yourself also? At whatever you say, if you do not doubt, well, remember, it has to be according to the word of God. But if you do not doubt in your heart, hallelujah. Praise God. So when the psalmist said, and you can appropriate any part of the word of God, when the psalmist says, I have lived over wars, I have lived, you know, run through troops and so forth, we preach a message like that also. Well, can you say concerning the gates of brass? And can you say concerning the bars of iron that are holding you back? Can you say to them that let those gates be broken? I'm not saying pray. I say say to the gates, let the gates be broken and open ye the gates. Hallelujah. Let the bars be broken and open ye the gates. You know, you say and you believe. And God will watch over it and he will bring it to pass. And while you are saying it, you bring the word of God in there. You say, for it is written that he has broken the gates of brass and he has cut asunder the bars of iron. So when you bring that in there, you tell, you know, the angels and the devils if they like. Because Moses said, I call heaven and earth against you to record this day and so forth. So heaven may hear it, devils may hear it, doesn't matter. But God, when he sees you proclaiming that word, it is actually his word, he's going to move. Hallelujah. When you speak his word, he'll move on your behalf. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So let's stand to our feet this morning. And we're going to practice this. A word is enough for the wise. I mean, I could go on for the next 2 hours and preach on this topic, but that's enough. Let's practice this thing that we just said. Amen? Amen? I don't know if anybody is still with me. People don't respond when I say amen. Amen? Let's practice this thing that we just said. But you know, the thing is this. Many times, it works sometimes, but it doesn't work all the time. Well, I'm telling you how to get it to work all the time. You know, not get 25% of your prayers answered, not 75% or whatever, you know, and not, oh, my prayers were answered when I first came to the Lord, and they are not answered now. I'm telling you how you can get your word to come to pass. Amen. When you align yourself with the word of God and you speak his word. Now, it's not really yours at that point. You're just speaking what God already said, and you are enforcing those words into the situation in your life. Now, if there's anybody here today, now remember, there's a different anointing for every service. And by the grace of God, I always take a little extra time to seek the Lord when we have these consecration services. So, if there's anybody here today that would like to say to some mountain, amen? I've already prayed, and I tried by the grace of God. I tried last night. I was remembering all the names of the people in this church. In fact, I was going down this way from where Brother James is sitting, and I was visualizing in my head. I was calling all the names of everybody and their various families and so forth. I went through all of that, and at the end, I said, Lord, if I missed anybody, you know them too. Amen. Now, so we've already prayed that prayer. And Jesus said, look, I've already prayed for you, told Peter. So don't worry about it. I've already prayed, you know. So the devil's going to try to sift you, but I pray for you. Now, we've already prayed in secret. Now, let God reward us openly. Amen. Amen. Now, if there's anybody here that would like to say to some mountain, I am going to believe the Lord and I agree with you. I want you to step forward real quickly. And we're going to say together. Now, you will be the one doing the saying. I will just be agreeing with you. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, if any two of you shall agree on anything, God is going to do it. Now, but at the end, I will also declare some things, because the Bible says, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God. I will also, as the oracles of God in my mouth, declare some things for you today. But first, you declare some things for yourself. Isaiah 52, one of my favorite verses in that whole Bible. And verse 2, he said, look, shake thyself from the dust, loosing thyself from the bands around your neck. Hallelujah. You do it yourself. You shake yourself. You stir up within you. Amen. Don't let the devil have a field day over you. The devil is a defeated foe. Amen. I want you to raise your right hand. Just your right hand. Those of you who are here with me. And let's begin to pray. I'm going to ask you to be open. Don't not in your mind now. No, we're not. It is not in your mind, folks. You know, you have to say it with your mouth. It is the mouth that says it unto possession. So say it with your mouth. Now, praise the Lord. I want you to begin to pray. Never mind the person that's next to you. Say it. The angels that excel in strength, they are waiting to hearken to the voice of his word from your mouth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I want the young men who are helping us with the breaking of bread, join in this prayer also. We're not finished with this session yet. Join in this, because I don't want anybody to miss this part of it. You know, say with your mouth what it is that you want God to do for you. And quote a scripture to back it up. Hallelujah. And when you say it, do not doubt it in your mind. Jesus said, except you be converted and be as little children. You know, sometimes the little children, they just believe anything. If you tell them, oh, I'm going to do this for you, they just believe it. You know, you must be converted and believe as little children in your faith. Say it with your mouth. What the devil has been holding back from you that belongs to you, say that is your possession. Hallelujah. If any man need wisdom, let him ask of God. But let him not ask with doubting. Say, as I receive the wisdom of God. Say it with your mouth. Be as the oracles of God. What you declare this morning, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. That what you are declaring this morning shall come to pass. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say it with your mouth and believe in your heart. And do not doubt, but believe that what you are saying shall come to pass. And quote a scripture to confirm it. You shall have whatsoever you say. You may be praying for yourself or for somebody else. Maybe you are praying for one of your children or whatever. Say it in your mouth and believe it in your heart. And do not doubt it. And leave it there with God. He will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let me declare this for us, and you can believe with me. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you because you said, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And by the grace of God, I have stood here today to share the principles of the oracles of God. And now I'm going to speak as the oracles of God. Hallelujah. I declare in the name of Jesus, speaking as the oracles of God, remembering that whatever the oracles of God declare shall come to pass. With the oracles of God in my mouth today, I declare for you that the things that you have declared for yourselves shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Remember what the angel told Mary. There shall be a performance of those things that were told you from the Lord. Blessed is she that believeth. For there shall be a performance of those things that were told you from the Lord. Now, blessed are you today that believe this message. Because there shall be a performance of those things that you are declaring. In the name of Jesus Christ. Not only today, but especially today. Hallelujah. Now, those of you who are here, I want you to spread your hands. Yes. And I'm going to remind God of a prayer that we prayed in this building when we opened this place. And we said, Lord, when your people, if at any time they are afflicted, if they shall come into this place and spread their arms in this place, Lord, then hear, O Lord, from heaven. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And as your hands are stretched up towards heaven today, he will lift you up. Amen. Just like a baby that wants to be carried must lift up the hands to the parent. As you lift up your hands, also lift up your head. Don't let your head be bowed down. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. And the King of glory shall come in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now the Lord watch over his word to perform it. The word of God that is gone forth today, it shall not return void. The word of God that you have declared because you spoke his word and you aligned your situation in your life with his word. And remember, it is the word of God that grows and prevails. The word of God will prevail in your life. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give, Lord, to you all the praise and all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. And remember, you may be facing some dark hours right now. Never mind if it's dark. God, who was with you in the daytime, is also God in the night. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We give you the praise and give you the glory. And remember that although sorrow may endure for a night, there is no way that the night can last forever. at some point in time, that day must break. And you have the power of change is in your hands. The power for you to change it and make the night go away. Hallelujah. And bring in the sunshine. It's in your hands today. It's called the principles of the oracles of God. Lift up your hand and bless his name as we close this section of this service. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.